Your speaker is Garland Robinson. When you consider doing a thing in your life from day to day, do you ever stop to consider, does this have the appearance of evil? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22 we read, abstain from all appearance of evil. What a great thing it would do for everyone to consider every word they speak, every action they perform, every thought even they have, in light of God's Word. How does this appear? How will my influence be affected? Am I living a good and right and proper example before others? There are many good questions we need to ask ourselves every day as we live. And one of the best is, does this action in which I'm involved, does it have the appearance of evil? In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11 we read, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Friend, our soul is created in the image of God. It is immortal. It will exist and abide and live on forever and ever, either in eternal bliss in heaven or eternal destruction and damnation in hell. And it is up to us how we live. It's up to us what decision we make, what direction we go. Do we seek to please God and go to heaven? Or do we seek to please ourselves, please the devil, and go to hell? If we'll stop long enough to simply consider our actions, our life, and make sure that we're not a wrong influence, an evil influence, but we might live for goodness and for righteousness and be helpful in God's care. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 34 we read, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day may come upon you unawares. So as we live, let's take heed, here the Scripture says, to ourselves, lest we be overcome with wickedness and evil and the cares of this world and the cares of this life. When we read about the Lord's teaching and the parable of the sower, the seed that fell among the thorns, those things grew up and choked the individual because of the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. When we stop long enough to consider our lives and our actions, our influence with others, then surely that would lead us to live a better life, a clean and pure and holy life, that we might be pleasing in God's sight. When we will stop long enough to ask ourselves the question, is this activity in which I'm involved, is it a weight? That is it going to hold us back? Is it going to hurt or damage us in our spiritual life? Is it a hindrance to serving God? In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 we read, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In the Olympic Games or any other athletic games, it's always appropriate that those who participate in them first condition and train and exercise, lift weights, attach weights to our ankles or our wrists, or in whatever manner that we might strengthen our muscles, that we might be better equipped when it comes time to perform. And then when we get ready to participate in the game, we take the weight off, don't we? We don't want to come up to the plate in a baseball game with two bats in our hands, or with a heavy weight on the end of it. We do that ahead of time. And when we get to run the real race, we remove the weights. Well, in the spiritual application, whatever we do in living a life, or living the life that we should live, we ought to discard the weight. Put that weight away from us. Here Hebrews 12 says, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Paul mentioned this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse 24 to 27. He said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." So what's he saying here? The individual that strives to participate in athletic situations, he says they strive. They work to obtain the prize, and everyone runs that race. In the worldly field, there's only one winner. But in the spiritual realm, all who run the race successfully, faithfully, as God has commanded, everyone's a winner. We'll all be able to go to heaven when we die. And if people would take such great care and discipline and strain in order to gain a crown or a prize that is in this world, that one that will corrupt and rust and fade away, one we cannot take with us when we die, if people go to such lengths to win that prize, why wouldn't we go to such great lengths to win the prize that God would have us to obtain, and that is heaven above? So when we involve ourselves in activities or in situations, then we need to sincerely ask, is this a detriment to our spiritual life? Is this a weight? Is it holding us back? Is it causing us to not serve the Lord? Is it a hindrance? And when we do that and we answer the question, well, yes, this is a weight that's going to hold us back, then we would let it go, put it aside, because we do not want to be hindered in any way in serving the Lord. Another good question we need to consider when we want to be involving ourselves in certain activities: can I do this thing when I remember the Holy Spirit dwells in me? In Romans chapter 8, verses 9 to 14, we read, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." If we'll but remember that when we involve ourselves in activities, we're representing the Lord, we're supposed to be living for Him, the Spirit of God dwelling in us, are we hindering the way that God would have us to go? If we'll simply ask ourselves that question, is this appropriate? Is this what the Lord would have me to do? Then we'll surely be able to answer that in the way that would be pleasing unto God. When I involve myself in activities of whatever sort, am I an example of a believer? Am I leading the way of righteousness? Can I teach others to follow me as I follow the Lord? In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 we read, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." When Paul would write Timothy these things, he was telling him as a Christian, as a child of God, Timothy, you've got to be an example. You've been an example of all who believe in Christ Jesus. You've been an example in the conduct and the manner of life that you live, in your purity and your morality. We need to be like that. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, "Be ye imitators," or "be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ Jesus." So Paul could say that, and he was exhorting Timothy to do and say the same thing. In Titus chapter 2, in verse 7 and 8, we read, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." How many lives are destroyed by those who are living wickedly, and they're a poor example, a bad example and influence to all that would look to them? But instead, we need to be the light of the world. We are, as the Lord said, that candle set on a hill that cannot be hid. That we are not darkness in the world, but we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth, where we're given to penetrate society and influence for goodness and righteousness' sake. That we would be that pattern of good works, and we would always be one who would love the Lord and do those things that would be pleasing in His sight. Friend, we need to never be a stumbling block before the Lord, before others even of this world. In 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, "But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." Our life cannot be such that would tear down the cause of Christ, that it would be a terrible thought and example before others, but we must not hinder them in any way. In Romans 14:13, "Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Just a few verses later, in verse 21 of Romans 14, we read, "It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything wherein thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak." Woe be to that individual that so lives, or so speaks, and so does in his life, that he's a hindrance, he's a detriment, he holds back those who would otherwise be lifted up and give honor and glory to God. Friend, we must not be a stumbling block, an occasion to sin for others. Then here's a good question we need to consider. If we're going to involve ourselves in a certain activity or involve ourselves in whatever the situation is, would we want our children to do it? Would we sanction our children? Would we recommend to them? Would we leave instructions? Now look, you pick up this cigarette and you smoke it. You pick up this can of beer or this glass of wine and you sip it. Well, I don't think so. When we go through this acid test and say, no, you better not do as I am doing, I better never catch you with a cigarette between your fingers or between your lips. Better not catch you drinking a beer or gambling or whatever it is. Friend, if you don't want your children to do it, then you ought not to do it yourself either. In Ephesians 6 and verse 4, we read that we're to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go." Psalm 127 in verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." If we don't want our children to be involved in certain things, then we better not do them ourselves either. Why in the world would we so live and yet command our children, "Don't follow me, don't follow my example"? Friend, that's just not right. This has been Garland Robinson. Join us again.